Hey everybody, I'm Corbin.
And I'm Camry.
And we are siblings reconnecting with the joy of our Disney-filled childhood. Join us as we discuss, debate, and rediscover the second star to the right. This is The Neverland Files. Hello everyone.
Hey guys.
Happy day to everyone. I don't know what that means, but happy day to you all.
We hope you're having a happy day. Happy Black Friday, because that's when everybody will get to hear this for the first time. Hope you're at home enjoying yourself and not running around.
Or maybe you're stuck in line and you're listening to us, so bless you for trying.
Hey, that's true. We could be like helping with the Black Friday boredoms.
Well, should we do some meditating, some deep breathing exercises?
Okay, well, guys, I promise Christmas is going to be great, despite what happens on your Black Friday.
So there you go. All right.
There's your pep talk.
What are we doing? Oh, Frozen 2 today.
Frozen 2. We decided that we watched Frozen last year, and this is a good transition movie from fall to winter. And so we needed to watch Frozen 2 and see which came out on top.
And it sounds like, I'm not very engaged in the Instagram, but it sounds like we got some responses from you folks.
We did a little voting this week. We did a little Frozen versus Frozen 2 voting. So we'll be going over that in just a bit. But we're going to start out with some story time, Corbin. What have you got for us in terms of box office?
Okay, 2019. This came out recently, if you have not heard about Frozen 2.
Pre-COVID, can you believe that?
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago. So if you don't remember...
That was several lifetimes ago.
This was a few months before everything got real weird and foggy.
Yeah.
Can't remember that far back. But 2019, obviously... This is in the midst of Disney just...
The Disney mega.
Taking over the world. Number one that year, 2019, Avengers Endgame, which...
I mean, yeah.
Okay with that.
I am too. You can't...
Fantastic.
You can't beat that.
I mean, I'm not a huge Marvel fan. I've watched all the movies, but that is a great movie.
That is... Wow. It was an experience.
Number two, I actually question a little bit.
Okay.
I'm questioning the world and where you spent your money in 2019. The Lion King.
You know what? I haven't even seen it. So I don't, in that sense, I'm kind of questioning it too. Cause I'm like, was it really worth all that money?
It made $500 million.
That is nuts. Oh, Disney. And they're just over there like, hee, hee, hee.
Printing my own money.
Yep.
Number three was Toy Story 4.
Boo.
And then number four was Frozen 2.
Which is surprising, actually. This is interesting in terms of like the Toy Story franchise versus the Frozen franchise. I honestly would have thought, based on like merchandising and stuff, that the Frozen franchise would have pulled out ahead a little bit, but maybe Toy Story is a little more relatable for all children.
Okay, now hold on. Toy Story 4 beat it out by $4 million this year, but Frozen 2 came out in November. Toy Story was during the summer.
That's true, never mind.
So
okay, so my prediction is...
Frozen just cruised past it. I mean, okay. It was not a competition. Obviously, Star Wars Episode 9 is in here as well, but that's number 6, but that's because it came out around December 20th. So, you know, good movies this year.
That was a crazy movie year. That was
Yeah.
Wrapping up Marvel and Star Wars in the same year.
Oh, geez.
Wow. What a time.
Someday
we'll get to Corbin's thoughts on Episode 9. But
you know what? I don't feel bad for Disney.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, with COVID and the parks
and
everything closing.
I think hopefully they were like padding their savings accounts. Because
I
they should have had plenty of
Good
money
grief.
To be okay.
Yeah. They're like, we're suffering.
We're suffering.
No sympathy. I'm sorry. All right.
Okay. My story time. It just kind of talks about like the general concept and making of Frozen 2. There is an entire docuseries that you can watch. Five episodes on making Frozen 2. They essentially do the whole year before the movie comes out, and they document the whole experience. So you get into the story making process. This is like day to day in and out with the directors. So them going over animation stuff, the animators going over story and songs.
It's really fascinating.
It is fascinating for the sense of learning how they make a movie and what the year leading up to looks like, and how much. The most interesting thing for me was that they had big, and maybe some of you will be like, well, duh, they had big story problems with this movie up until like the last few months.
I'm going to talk about this a little bit later.
We are, but they were struggling with figuring out the core theme of the movie, and the people that were supposed to be writing the music were kind of like, I wish somebody would figure this out so that we can write our songs and be done with this because we're so confused. It's really fascinating to watch. I highly recommend if you want to, you know, invest 6 or 7 hours in some.
And if you don't like Frozen, I would even recommend just watching this because it gives you behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I like also that they highlight some of the animators and you get to see the pure talent that produces a movie like
this.
And
how these animators, like, their work is like a minute of the movie. And they go and sit in these movies when they come out with their family and they're like, oh, watch this 30 seconds. This is mine. Oh, that was 3 years of my life.
Did you see that snowflake? Did you see it? Exactly. I did it.
And it's crazy. Yeah. That is a crazy, crazy thing to have to do as a job and have 1 minute of your 3 years of your life.
And what you'll see in this series as well is they might have 3 minutes in the movie and then obviously they change the story and those 3 minutes are gone. So I just worked for a year and it's not showing up on the screen.
Yeah,
so
you're still getting your paycheck, but you don't get any of the pride.
So I think I have a lot more respect for animators and just the detail.
If you're
and
kind
expertise.
Of into like animation movie history, kind of into like filmmaking and like how they do stuff, it's a good series to watch because you're just in the nitty gritty and it's not like all fun and games. They have some really, they get down to crunch time and have some big problems. So very interesting, but we will get into that as we talk about music and characters. So Corbin, are you ready for character report cards?
Let's grade some characters.
All right, Corbin, who in your Frozen 2 class is coming out with an outstanding?
I believe in our original Frozen discussion, Frozen 1 movie discussion review, I was very critical of Kristoff and Sven.
Yeah, you had a hard time with the concept of Kristoff talking for Sven.
Yes.
In his in that voice.
Yeah. So watching the making of helped a little bit because I could see how the actor was just like, I cannot believe I have to do this. This is so humiliating, but it's part of the story. The other thing was,
which is so sad. You're like, oh, that's what even your
abuse,
actor,
abuse.
Even your actor's kind of like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. And then right before I watched this movie, Frozen 2, for the first time, couple years ago, our sister-in-law went and saw it, and she said, I actually liked that part. They fixed it, or they made it really entertaining and fun, the Kristoff Sven dynamic. And I, in my head, I was like, that's impossible. There's no way you can fix that.
Lies.
However, in this movie with Kristoff, I thought he was outstanding with one little caveat.
Okay.
So I thought his music, and then they like took the Sven part and they made it like a joke.
Yeah, they made it ridiculous. Yeah, they made fun of themselves.
Like Sven was talking like for real and Kristoff was like looking around like, is this happening? But I liked Kristoff a lot. I thought his him just trying to keep up with Anna, which I think is going to be their whole relationship.
Yeah, that's what you signed up for, pal.
But he still likes her and is willing to go along with that. There are a few moments in there where it's the typical stupid, dumb male lead kind of stuff where it's like, oh, Kristoff is just the goofy guy and he's kind of doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And so there were a few moments like that where I was like, okay, whatever. Right. But I overall thought he was outstanding.
I will say this for Kristoff. I feel like they did some really good stuff with Kristoff, but I don't think he had enough time in this movie and I wish he'd had more. There's been some like interesting talk about the like character development of Kristoff and like how he is like a really interesting male character in terms of showing young boys like the different spectrums of what it means to be masculine, which I agree with. Like Kristoff, he has a whole song about like his emotional feelings of being in love and he has some really awesome lines with Anna and is very supportive. My problem with this relationship will continue to be Anna and I will talk about that in just a second, but it was hard for me that was so much about Anna and Elsa and Kristoff really did kind of start to feel like an afterthought and you feel bad for him because you're like, Kristoff is, he seems like this type of character that deserves to have a little more actual time, but he just kind of keeps getting
pushed to the side. But
for
this
other
is
things.
A Disney princessy.
Yeah.
And with the story of Elsa.
Yeah.
And finding out the powers and all that stuff. It makes kind of sense how he takes the back seat.
Yeah.
I think. But then as I'm saying that, I'm like, wait, what happened with Sleeping Beauty? When she, you know, obviously she was not the focus.
She's in her own mini movie for 15 minutes.
So I think
minutes.
We're kind of shifting clear over to the other
I
side.
I just think he was an interesting enough character that he could have had more time and it would have been fun. but I understand why he didn't.
He did get left behind.
He really seriously, it was sad.
It's and where's Kristoff? I don't know. And he's like laying in a ravine somewhere. Yeah. Whatever. We'll just
for that
keep
reason,
going.
I'm giving Kristoff a satisfactory. There were some really high good moments, but I was just kind of like, I feel like I want more of him.
So can we clarify something here?
Yes.
As we talk about these characters, I think sometimes I get a little confused myself. Are we grading them below? So for example, Kristoff, he's satisfactory.
Yeah.
Is that satisfactory because of his character or because of how the writers put him in the movie?
And for me, I mean, there's no consistency, so I can't like give a definite answer.
I'm just curious in this
for this
situation.
One, in this situation, I feel like they created an interesting enough character.
Okay, he could have been outstanding.
And they just kind of left him behind.
Okay,
and it was like, oh, okay.
He was lost in the woods.
He was. I'm glad he got his own song.
Yeah, okay.
And I have opinions about Lost in the Woods. I'm still totally on the fence. I don't know...
Okay.
How I feel about it. I prefer the Weezer version, quite frankly.
We're not talking about music yet.
I know. But you're I'm just saying that, like, I think the version they have in the movie, the first time I saw it, I was just like, huh? I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
My next outstanding, my first outstanding, is going to be Olaf. Guys, I actually liked Olaf better in this one than I did the first one. I love this conundrum of you have this character that's really naive and childlike, and he starts to catch on to this concept of things changing when you grow up and the anxiety that comes with that. And I just love what that brought out in him. I thought it was so funny. I laughed more at Olaf this time than I did in the first one. And I think it's because I related with him a little more. So I'm giving him an outstanding.
I am going to give Olaf an outstanding, but it's begrudgingly.
Okay.
Because you know what they're doing with Olaf. You know that they're trying to have this character that's cute and funny and be silly and you.
But they grew him up just a teeny bit, and so as an adult, I'm like, okay, you know what? I feel like you did Olaf for the kids in Frozen 1, but this Olaf, I feel like, is a little more like I'm gonna toss one to the grownups out there, and I'm like, thank you.
So again, I think this is an issue. If I'm looking purely at Olaf as a character, he's great.
Yeah.
But then I know
Corbin
they're playing
doesn't
on
like
the
to
emotions.
Be manipulated.
I don't like the writers manipulating. And saying, oh, we have this really like lightning in a bottle character that people just think is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Jar Jar Binks, right? We tried with Jar Jar Binks. That didn't work.
Oh, my word. But, Jar Jar's not that bad.
But I know that that's going on where they're kind of selling it to me a little bit. So,
but I
agree with you.
I appreciate, though, that they didn't do. They're like, Olaf's perfect. Let's just have him keep being what he is. And so I appreciate that they were like, no, what's the progression for Olaf here? Yeah. Where does he go from where he was at?
And that was a big deal with the creation of this movie is that they were hoping to get, it's for mature audiences as well.
Yeah.
Adults, not so much just let it
go, they're
Olaf,
hearing all of the groans
it.
From the adults whenever Frozen comes up. We're like, oh my gosh. I loved Olaf. I loved his like dumb facts he kept telling everybody. And oh my goodness, when he tells the story of Anna and Elsa and Frozen. And now they've made a complete Disney Plus series of Olaf telling Disney princess stories. Guys, if you haven't heard or if you haven't watched Olaf Presents on Disney Plus, they're like 5-minute clips. So funny and so worth it.
And again, I'm always like resistant. I'm like, more, right?
So that's a personal problem. That is worth it. Because hearing Josh Gad tell those stories... Oh, it's just making me chuckle. It's just a good time. So yeah, I really liked Olaf, and I liked him more in this one than I did in Frozen.
I like the fact that he was getting angry at one point.
Yeah, and he was like, no, I'm feeling angry.
And Anna, of course, is like, no, it's just, I'm fine. Of course I'm angry. Let's talk about me some more. Wait, what? Oh, you're here? Oh.
Ooh, ouch. Oh my gosh. Oh, and I will say my last thing on Olaf, I love the Samantha joke. It cracks me up. He's like, I don't even know anybody named Samantha. Guys, I don't know why that makes me laugh.
It was brilliant. It was well done.
Okay. Who else gets outstanding? If anybody.
Oh, lastly about Olaf. Josh Gad improvised some of those lines.
Oh,
they just
kind of them.
They threw him in the booth. He was just talking.
Like
right?
the turtles breathe out of the hole in their butts. I'm pretty sure that was Josh Gad just coming out of nowhere.
I mean, there was a lot of things that he was just throwing
stuff.
And
again, things that you can watch in the making of. Is there like, hey, Josh, just go. And he would say stuff and all of a sudden they would just start laughing.
And he seemed to be more prominently displayed and involved in that docuseries as opposed to the other actors and actresses. I think, I mean, there's some other interviews and stuff like
that. Maybe he just hangs around a little more than everyone else.
And I think
he's
just more entertaining just to watch him work.
Yeah. Because he's like kind of a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right. Who else gets outstanding?
Another outstanding for me is Matthias.
Okay.
I love Matthias.
Really?
He is hilarious.
I don't feel there's that much to love, but I'm so happy.
It's very brief,
you love him.
But when Olaf is telling his story,
oh yeah,
my parents died. He's like sniffling.
He's like, oh no, not Anna.
Yeah, I love his little reactions like that. And then also the little thing going on between him and this girl that he knew a long time ago.
Yes.
And he asked
the
question.
He's like, so should get married?
It's like, no. And he's like, oh good, wait. I don't know if I should feel good about that.
Because it's been like 20 years.
That is such a thing in the dating world where you're dating and you meet this person that seems awesome, but then you find out they're a little older and you're like, you seem awesome, but why aren't you, what's going on here?
My thing
right?
is when you, it's the thing where like you meet somebody who's awesome and then they're dating and you're like, how'd the date go? And they're like, it wasn't good. And inside you're like, yes, I mean,
wow.
I mean, what? No, I'm sorry. It did go well.
I'm so sorry.
That's what Matthias
Here,
is doing.
I will dry your tears. I'm not crying. No, I will dry your, I will comfort you. I will be here. Stop it.
That is, and then I love at the very end when he turns to Anna, he's like, how am I doing?
Yep. So I liked Matthias a lot. I'll give him absolutely an outstanding. And I think he was actually supposed to be in this movie more.
He had like his own song.
But then, of course, I think Anna stepped in and said, I need more screen time. It's in my contract.
Oh my gosh. Okay. My, I put Matthias at satisfactory. I just didn't feel like there was enough of him in there to put him at outstanding.
Well,
but the more you talk about him, the more I'm like, oh yeah, he was better.
And he's one of those characters where sometimes you're like, I think I wanted more of him.
Yeah.
But then you get more, you get more of him and you're like, wait, what's going on here? Yeah. This isn't about you. And so I think they did really well done.
And you hear the song, you hear them talk about the song he was going to sing. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really need that song. So you feel bad. Cause you know, like his stuff got cut out, but you're right. I think they narrowed it down to just
Wouldn't
the
that
right
be terrible?
Stuff.
Like if you were an actor, a voice actor, I mean, first of all, just to sing in a studio in front of like the director.
And I'm pretty sure the guy, he's not a singer first. He's an actor first. So he probably had to kind of like put his big boy pants on and feel embarrassed and sing. And then they cut his song.
I am guessing that he is no longer an actor.
No, he is.
He is probably like an engineer.
No, he's
because
on the,
he's like,
he's
that
on the
was
TV
humiliating.
Show This Is Us.
I put on my big boy pants, sang the song. They said no, so I'm going to be an engineer.
That's it. I'm done.
I'm going to build bridges.
Oh, man. Okay. My last outstanding is going to go to Elsa. Guys, Elsa had big grow up time in this movie. And I honestly, like I was sitting there when this movie starts, I was watching it and I was like, you know what? I almost feel like I don't need Frozen 1. Like, I could just watch this movie from this point and move forward and be fine and not feel like I missed anything, because the first movie is just, there's a lot of angst. There's a lot of like teenage angst going on and you're like, oh man, this is hard. So it's fun to get to see Elsa like progress past that, like, oh, I hate myself. Okay, I'm okay with myself, and go to the point where it's like, I'm ready to find where I fit in life. And I think that's a cool journey to take with Elsa. This show saved the character of Elsa for me. I love her now. So good job, Frozen 2.
So I have a question for you.
Thumbs up.
Just this last episode, we did That Darn Cat. You mentioned, and this is kind of a common theme for you, older sisters.
Yes.
You have a hard time with that.
Yes.
So with Elsa, what did they do?
Because Elsa's not bossy.
She is very...
She's very reserved.
Submissive. I think she's been humbled.
Yeah, she's... And like, she's bossy. Right when I said that, I was thinking of her being like, you can't marry a man you just met. She'll offer her
opinion.
But
that's in the first movie.
Yeah. She'll offer her opinion when it's like serious and I need to say something. But for the most part, she'll just kind of let other people do what they feel comfortable with. And she's good with that because she's kind of dealing with her own stuff. I just have a hard time with that older sibling thing where like they're trying to parent everyone through the entire movie. And you're like, oh gosh. Corbin's thinking really
well.
Hard.
I'm thinking because I'm the older sibling here. I'm sorry if I did that to you.
No,
or the other siblings.
You don't need to apologize.
I wasn't sure if that was a commentary on your own personal life.
No.
But I agree with you. And there is only one moment in this movie where Elsa stands up and says, "This is what's happening." And that's when she sends Anna and Olaf.
Which
is good.
The right decision.
Yes.
This is the correct decision.
She had put up with Anna controlling and deciding and making her input be the way. And then she finally is like, okay, this is how it's going to work. And I'm not even going to discuss it with you because it's not, that's not, it's
because
not possible.
Yeah,
because
we're not going to agree and yeah. I'm just putting my foot down.
Yeah. So I think I agree with you. I was on satisfactory level with Elsa.
Yeah. Ooh, careful, careful. Don't
commit.
Do I want
to commit to outstanding? I'm like sitting there. She's looking at me and I'm about to write her grade on the paper.
She's like threatening you.
I'm like, what do I do? I will give her an outstanding, although I will say this, I don't love her voice.
Oh, okay.
And that's come up with other characters in the past.
Yeah. I think that's fair because I feel like Idina Menzel has a very unique voice. Yeah. And I think it's just a matter of taste.
And
it doesn't bother
and
me.
And
it
may
like it.
Be just the shadow of Let It Go kind of hovering over this.
Oh, maybe.
A little bit. Yeah. So anyways, I'll give her an outstanding though.
I will
you
say,
got it, kid. There's a backhanded compliment. I like you, but your singing voice and voice are terrible. Okay. No, it's not terrible. It's just, it's unique and it's just not quite what I would.
I just like this concept expect. Of, it's fun that we got to spend two, even though she's hard in the first movie, it was fun to get to see that character arc like really take off. Because I think sometimes, I mean, you have a 2-hour movie. It's like, how much character development can you get? So it was fun to see, instead of going from the deep dark hole to the okay space, it's fun to see them progress into like a character that goes from an okay space to feeling like really at peace in their life. You know what I mean? Because I think that there's something for both, for all, everybody in both movies. And there are a lot of people in the world who are in that okay space, but kind of want to grow beyond it and feel at peace and feel good about life, you know? So it was fun to kind of see that character arc.
I think that's important because that's how life is, right? You grow to a certain point and you think you figured it out.
Yep.
But there's still some things underlying that you're still working through. And so I think that's a great explanation of Elsa's continued progression, not... Life is terrible, all better.
Yeah.
Then the next movie, life is terrible, all better.
But
you know,
life is terrible. Okay, I can deal with this. We're good. And then, oh, I think I'm good, but like something feels like it's missing, even though I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I as an adult, I appreciated
that. Well written. I will give that to Jennifer Lee in that scenario.
Okay. So let's talk about the elephant in the room. Corbin, where are you?
Oh, that's harsh.
Putting,
poor Anna.
Where are you putting Anna? Guys, I had a hard time with Anna in the first one.
I will give her a satisfactory.
I'm giving her satisfactory as well.
There's a lot of misses.
And this is why it's satisfactory, is because of where she ends up. Because there is character growth with Anna in this movie, finally, thank goodness. So
can you say character? Can you remind me?
Okay.
Enlighten me.
For me, when we get to the end, I think Anna's in a place where she realizes that her and Elsa are on different paths, and that's okay. And for me, it's like, thank goodness. Anna's going to be okay being in charge of Arendelle with Kristoff and letting Elsa...
We're not sure. I'm still a little skeptical
We'll get to them in a second. But yes. It's in terms of Anna and Elsa, Anna's grown to a place where she has confidence in herself and doesn't need to be clinging on to Elsa to feel secure.
Which took
a lot of work to get there. But by the time we got to the end, I was like, okay, we're in a good place now.
It does make sense why she is so clingy.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, that's a pretty horrific experience to have both your parents die and your older sister shunning you.
And to be sequestered away from everyone.
She basically grew up with a bunch of old servants.
Yeah.
Which, that's got to do things to you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of trauma there.
And I appreciate you bringing that up, because just the idea of Anna accepting and becoming Queen Anna, I think shows that growth, right?
Yeah. And the hard thing with me with Anna is her relationship with Kristoff. It's still hard for me. And like I said, I think they get to the point at the end where at the very end, you're like, okay, I think we're in a good place.
I think.
But that whole movie, you're just like, Kristoff is such a good guy. And like, Anna is kind of oblivious and she doesn't appreciate him. And I feel bad for Kristoff. I just do.
This is how I know. I mean, this isn't for like every relationship, but if there is a moment in the story where it's like the climax, it's the moment of like, we know what's happening and you're not sure which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
Like, you know where it's leading to. Like when Kristoff proposes to her, I honestly was sitting there and I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. Is she going to say yes or no? I wouldn't be surprised either way, because you're right. She doesn't show that interest in Kristoff.
She's still very like naive and childlike about the whole thing.
Her relationship with Elsa is so much more important.
Yes.
That Kristoff is just kind of
hanging
along.
Which is so sad, because you're like, Kristoff's in a place where he's like, I am ready to make Anna my number one. And in the middle of him trying to propose, she is sitting there fretting over how Elsa seemed off that night. And like, what's wrong with Elsa? And he's sitting there and he's like, I'm trying to like bare my soul here.
Click as he shuts the ring.
It was so unfair to Kristoff. Yeah. She was so unfair to him the whole movie. And he continued to show up and be so loving and supportive. I'm just hoping she can reciprocate at some point, because frankly, I feel like he's giving a lot more than she is. And that makes me sad. But that's it. I love that we're psychoanalyzing a fictional relationship.
What we're analyzing here is the psychology of human beings, because it connects with us. We've seen this, we understand it, we've experienced some of these emotions, and so they've told this story. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're sitting here being like, what are they wasting their time about movies? They're telling stories here that are real.
Which is, and that's how you know it's a good story.
Yes.
Is it connects with people on a deeper level and is relatable.
Yes. And one of the most powerful moments for me in this movie, and I'm going to get crushed by this, by some of the people that are very close to me.
Oh, no.
But her song, Anna's song, when she has just lost everything.
The next right thing.
The next right thing. I know some people really do not like this song. Mm-hmm. I actually was reading through the reviews online. People do not like that.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. Like, it's like, it's so dramatic. It's so sad and sappy. And I'm like, hold on. Life, when you're going through something really hard in your own life.
And we're talking about, for Anna, this is the breaking point.
She's lost everyone.
She's lost everyone.
Except for Kristoff, who's, well, he's lost too.
But
he's physically still there, but we don't know where he is. But when you're in those moments of just deep, dark struggle, sadness.
Yeah.
People on the outside looking in are like, why are you being so dramatic? But for you, it is real.
Yeah.
Like taking the next step.
It's almost all you can do.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's barely all you can do.
Yeah. Waking up, getting out of bed is like a big deal.
It is.
Days.
Yeah.
And so I love this song. It really connected with me, because there's been moments in my life where I've been like, I have done things and my brain is telling me, do not just stay in bed.
Yeah.
Don't even think about trying to do anything.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot.
Well, and I think if you watch the making of, Kristen Bell talks about this song, how like she struggled with depression in her life. And for her, recording the song was really emotional, because she lives in that period of life a lot of the time where it's like, all I can bear to do is get out of bed and tell myself, okay, now I got to brush my teeth.
Yeah.
And just like celebrating, like taking those baby steps. And I'm with you. Like, I deal with mental health stuff all the time. And there are days where like, opening your eyes, you're like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
And it takes you 20 minutes to look at yourself and be like, I think I can get out of bed today. So I'm with you. In terms of like musically, it's not my favorite. Like, it's not something I'm going to plug in all the time and listen to. But in terms of the messaging and the moment in Anna, and in terms of her growth, I agree with you. I think this is a really good song and I relate with it. So Anna, we'll give you that. I'm with you. It may not be like the most flashy Disney song ever,
but
it's still really powerful.
That's why it's good. We need real.
Yeah.
With the frilly, sparkly, pretty, cute, real is important. And I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Any needs improvement?
I do.
Okay.
You better do your needs improvement first, because mine's out there and I've got some things I've got to talk about.
Okay. I mine's really minor. Sven. I think we've gotten to the point in Frozen 2 where we've kind of grown up, like the characters have grown up past that. And to see Kristoff like still talk to Sven like that, and to have Sven there kind of, it just feels like a crutch, an emotional crutch that Kristoff doesn't need anymore. You know, he's had loss in his life, but he's found other things to fill that space.
Yeah,
and
what's
so
going to happen to Sven now?
I'm okay with Sven being there. I just don't think Kristoff needs to rely on him so heavily anymore, because he's grown past that.
So it felt
silly. It just felt out of place.
Would you say, if you were Kristoff's therapist, would you give him
it's
counsel?
It's like the comfort blanket.
You need to stop talking for Sven.
I think you're in a place where you don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah, no more talking for Sven. He can be there with you. You can
be friends. You can talk to him, but with,
quietly.
You don't need
your
to
mind.
Have conversations with yourself and beat yourself up through Sven.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we've moved past that. So
poor Sven. I think Sven is likable.
Right.
Christoph has turned him into snot.
Yeah, it's not his fault. He's just sitting there like, I wish this guy would stop putting words in my mouth. Leave me alone.
I think Sven's going to be okay. He's going to realize, okay, Christoph is getting married. I'm going to go hang out with this herd.
Yeah, he does have a lot of reindeer friends now.
We're good.
Yeah.
Let's just cut the cord. We're done.
Sever. Okay, who's your needs improvement? I'm ready for your therapy time.
My needs improvement is Jennifer Lee.
Ooh,
the director.
Okay. And the writer.
And the writer.
She's the writer.
She is the main writer.
There were
this.
Two directors, but she was the writer.
Yeah, her and Chris Buck, I believe is his name.
Yes.
Okay. And I need some help with this because I've got a lot of thoughts. Okay, Jennifer okay. Lee has created... Okay, writing is hard. And I mean, from my like minuscule attempts at writing, it's hard. And I've listened to a few podcasts about people who try and write for movies and shows. It's really difficult. However... In watching the making of Frozen 2,
yeah.
I was incredibly, like, I was disturbed. this is weird. Like, there was this emotional,
okay.
almost anger
okay.
toward her
okay.
and her team, leadership team,
uh-huh.
that 4 to 5 months before they were releasing this film,
yeah.
trying to get this figured out, they looked at each other and they said, we don't know what the crud is going on with Otto Wallen.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
This is the interesting thing about the making of is that was the big piece that they were like, where are we going with this? Is they couldn't decide who is the voice that is calling to Anna. And,
Elsa.
Or Elsa, sorry. Yes. Who is the voice?
We don't want to talk about the voices in Anna's head. Okay.
That's a whole other story. Who is the voice that is calling to Elsa? And what is she trying to become? And what is going on here?
Yes.
So the whole core
of the movie
of Elsa's journey,
yeah.
they couldn't figure it out. And because I think they kept trying to want it to be that like she gets there and realizes on her own that like, oh, I'm the person. I like have this self-revelation thing,
uh-huh.
but nobody was catching on to it when they would play it for crowds and play it for like other directors. Everybody was just kind of like, I'm not really sure what's going on here.
Yeah.
And the poor songwriters are supposed to be writing Show Yourself. And they're like, who is showing who?
Yes.
I don't know who's showing what
to
who.
We're writing this song. I'm singing it to myself. Like...
Guys, seriously, this was a conversation they had. It was so funny to watch.
And I was really annoyed and frustrated by this because what I think happened is that she wrote this story,
mm-hmm.
Frozen 1, which was a huge hit.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, let's bring these characters back.
Yeah.
We're going to make a ton of money.
Yep.
And I think they took advantage of the viewers in this development process where they're like, it doesn't matter. Like, we've got the characters here. We got Olaf. We've got Anna,
People
Elsa.
People will come.
The kids will love it. And we're going to just make it a little bit more mature. And, like, there's going to be some development with Elsa. And I think what was happening as I was watching this making of is that they would sit in these meetings with the writers and with Jennifer Lee and Chris Buck and the executive producer and all these people. And it was obvious that not everybody was on the same page
yeah.
with Otto Wallen and yeah. who was calling her.
Yeah.
And I think they all just were like, well, Jennifer knows what's going on.
And Jennifer's sitting there and she's like, ah. It got and then to, she walks out of the room well, and goes to her office
I
and
think,
is like in tears.
I think she thought she knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And then they had this screening with all these kids and these families and they're like, we didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
And even then they had to hurry and scramble. And it was really frustrating for me because then you have all these animators that have poured their guts into this movie.
Yeah.
And the story does not make sense. And with that being said, it still doesn't make sense. Like, I remember watching this movie the first time and I was like, you know what? Sometimes I miss stuff. I don't get it. And I've watched it three times since then. And I'm still looking at it. I'm like, okay. I mean, emotionally, when the mom is singing mm-hmm. and Elsa has this realization, emotionally, I'm like, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
I feel it. But my brain is like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was really frustrated because I felt like I was used as a consumer of this film.
Do you feel like watching the making of made this worse for you?
It did.
Okay.
It really did.
Okay, because I'm wondering, I am actually wondering if I would love for them to like do this with other movies, because I think we'd be surprised of how often this happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Where everybody is looking at the table around the table and they're like, this movie comes out in 3 months and we don't know what the crap we're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I will say that like in this sense, I think they got about as close as they could get considering the time frame without having to have to scrap everything and be like, we've missed some huge things here. I think they got about as close as they could get. I agree with you. Like emotionally, it hits. Show Yourself hits for me. And I'm glad. I think it was really smart of them to bring the mom in. I think that really made sense. I think where the plot holes are for me is with the mom and the dad. And like the mom is a part of that tribe and those people, but did the dad ever find out that she was a part of those people?
She did. Remember, they were when she was walking through, she saw her mom and dad. Her mom's like, I need to explain something, where I'm from and stuff like that. So they explained that a little bit.
Yeah. But there's just this sense of like, we just didn't have any hints of any of this in the first movie. And so it just felt like a lot that got glossed over.
Yeah. To me, if I was teaching a class on leadership, I would watch this and show this and say, okay, this is what happens if you have a vision, but you're not able to communicate it effectively.
Yeah.
It causes problems. So to your point, with 4 to 5 months left, they did a remarkable job patching it together.
Yeah.
But I feel like, again, they just kind of went through the motions. They cared about the story, but they just relied on the loving of the characters, and they didn't look and question each other enough in those meetings to say, can you explain who is calling who?
You want to know what? I feel like what the problem may have been actually is like maybe not enough people. Maybe it wasn't necessarily them as leaders. Maybe it was other people in the room who didn't speak up
soon enough and
say, wait a minute.
And why is that?
There's something isn't making sense here.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing when you're a creative person, it's easy for stuff to make sense in your head because you live it all the time and you're like, oh, these things all just fit together so well.
Yeah.
And then you start trying to articulate it and get it to communicate to other people. And it's hard for you to realize that like other people aren't where you are because they're not in your head. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. Like, I think it was interesting. Show Yourself still hits for me. It and still I don't hits. Know how.
The movie, like, there's the emotional connection.
But there are a few, like, weird, wonky things.
There's just jumps. Yeah. And there's gaps. And the last thing I would say is, along with this, if things aren't making sense and no one's speaking up, again, that's another indicator of leadership, right? Where there's not that transparency. So I loved seeing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I think with this movie in particular, there were some huge glaring gaps that was like, I was just like,
which I will give them props for being brave enough to be like, you know what?
I'm surprised they showed it.
We made this docuseries and we're putting it out there and we're going to be honest about what happened.
And do you remember that critical moment where they're like, we've got to figure this out, and they closed the doors. They didn't let the cameras in.
Yeah, they're like, we're sorry guys, you can't be
in
here.
And I could only imagine what happened in there, because I think they probably looked at each other and like, we have really screwed some stuff up.
Yeah, or there were some serious tears, or there was like some hard conversations where it was like, okay, like, do we go to Bob Iger and say we need an extra 5 months? Like, are we to that point where we can't fix this the way it is? Anyways, guys, if you are interested in like the reality of making these cute little kids movies that we criticize and watch and enjoy, then watch that, because you'll get an interesting perspective into it.
I do have one last outstanding. I just realized.
Oh, well, we're going to way change corners here, Corbin. Okay. Last outstanding.
Well, it kind of goes off of this. The people that saved this movie was Robert and Kristen, Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert
They're
Lopez.
They're so talented.
Because they were the ones that figured it out.
Yeah, they did.
And that's the other part of me that I was like, oh my gosh. Like the people writing the music, I'm sure everyone was like, okay, we got to step back and really rewrite this. But they had the idea of, let's bring the mom back in.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just doing whatever they could to keep this thing going.
Yeah.
There were so many moments like that where they came up with really creative ideas that people were like, this is brilliant.
This is it.
Let's move on with this. So I thought they were phenomenal.
They were. And they're really fun to watch in the docuseries too, because they're in New York. So they're Zoom chatting. And they'll have moments where they like turn off the Zoom chat and they just sit there and look at each other and they're like,
how are we
going
to do this?
What are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Okay. All right, guys, we're going to move into some To Keep or Not to Keep, since we're talking about music. Corbin, this is a musical, as we all know. So what songs from the soundtrack are you keeping and which one gets the boot.
Okay, so the one that I've already mentioned, the next right thing, great song. This is one of those, I'm feeling sad today.
Yeah.
Turn it on, drive around wherever you live and just listen to it.
And just feel like I can do this. Yes. I can do this. I agree. I am going to be keeping...
Well?
I'm going to be keeping Into the Unknown. I think this is such... I don't know, guys. This movie hit me at a time in my adult life where I was just like, I needed these songs. And I feel like Into the Unknown was one of those songs where it was like, you reach that point in your life where, I mean, everything's good, but you're also like, I feel like something is missing. And there's something out there that is kind of calling to me, but I don't know what it is, and it's kind of scaring me.
And guess what? Nobody knows what it is.
Yeah.
Is it yourself? Is it your mom?
No,
I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Is it your mom? Honey! So anyways, this is one of those songs that, I mean, it kind of gave me goosebumps the first time I watched it and was just like, this is so cool. And the Panic in the Disco version, incredible on the soundtrack. I could listen to him hit that high note all day. So anyways.
And visually stunning.
Oh, so this whole movie is just visually.
Yeah, animators did a phenomenal job. All right, my other to keep, Lost in the Woods.
You're keeping Lost in the Woods.
I love Lost in the Woods.
Guys, this is such an acquired taste. It's hit or miss.
I don't know. I think it's a hit, and if you don't get it, then get out of town. It's brilliant. It's beautiful.
I appreciate that the Lopezes were like, you know what? I think they were in the storytelling process and they were in the midst of this drama. They're and they're like, you know what? We're going to write a freaking 80s love ballad.
Yeah.
And we're going to own it.
Yeah.
And we'll just see what people think. It's kind of a joke. And they show it to everyone and everyone's like, I kind of love it. And they're like, really?
It is awesome. And the fact that they had Weezer do the cover of it.
Oh, my word, guys. Weezer is so good.
I like it. I like it Weezer. A lot. It's staying and I don't care what you say.
Okay.
I know both those songs. I'm probably going to, people are like, what are you talking about, right? But I love
it. Hey, Corbin's staying true to himself. The other song I'm going to keep is When I'm Older. Guys, I like When I'm Older better than In Summer. This is the Olaf song that makes me laugh because I feel like this is me, where you're just like, I can do this, I can do this, life's good. And then something happens and you're like, I'm not looking over there. I'm just going to keep moving. It will all make sense later. And
keep smiling.
Keep smiling. I'm
smile
so
and wave,
and
boys.
By the end, you're just screaming bloody murder and just running out of the screen.
Wow.
I loved it.
It sounds like, as we're talking about this movie, there's a lot of psychological things you're
there
learning
is.
About us.
It's interesting that you have these movies come along and things just connect with you. And the other movies come along that are good, but they just don't hit. Anyways, okay, Corbin, what are we getting rid of? What's getting tossed out?
I'm going to get rid of... Oh, shoot.
I can go first?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, there's not that many choices.
I'm getting rid of Some Things Never Change. I mean, I honestly, it's forgettable. I forgot about this song. And then it happened, and then I forgot about it again.
That's...
So
I was leaning that direction. Should I be different?
Yeah, be different, Corbin.
Okay.
Should I be different?
I'm going to say When I'm Older.
Okay.
It's cute.
Fine.
It's fun, but it's just...
Samantha?
The Samantha part's funny. The rest of it, I'm just like, whatever. Okay. I don't care, Olaf.
Oh, you just don't want... You don't like Olaf because you feel like you're being manipulated by the...
Yeah, there's that. And then also the fact that he's a snowman and he's talking about learning and growing. And I'm like, actually, you don't have a brain.
That's what Corbin's intellectual side comes out and is like, you know what? I've taken a lot of creative leaps, but I'm not taking a leap in that direction.
That's what Olaf says. What does he say in the first one? Like, I don't have bones or a skull or something.
He's like
that.
That's okay. I don't have a skull.
Yeah. So, yeah, you don't have a brain either. So I don't think there's much learning going on.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let's go into Rate the Reviews. Let's see what the internet had to say about Frozen 2.
This is good. Boy,
oh, guys, this is so all over the place. My reviews are from Rotten Tomatoes this week again.
Okay.
Corbin, where are you from?
I'm coming from Amazon.
All righty.
Ready?
You go first.
Okay. This is from Leroy.
Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole downtown. Badder than old King Kong. Should I keep going?
Thank you, Jim Croce. Okay. 5 out of 5 stars. Fantastic. Far better than the first one. He says, thank you. This is Leroy. Much more intense than part one. Much more in depth and more emotional impact. Adults will love this one as much, if not more, than the kids. I agree with this.
I would think, I think that's true.
It does have this mature, every time I say mature or adult, I'm like, what are we talking about? Rated R? Like, what are we no, like it's got
it's
like
a lot more grunge.
The emotional depth is there. So agree, Leroy. Well done.
All right, my first review comes from Louis C. 5 out of 5 stars. This is not just a sequel. It's a masterpiece. I love Elsa so much. This film is everything to me now. Love it. I think I agree. Like I said, I got when I watched the first 10 minutes of this movie, I was like, you know what? I kind of feel like I could be okay without Frozen 1. Like, I feel like
it's
this movie stands alone so much that I don't need the first one to watch it, if that makes sense.
I mean, there would be some parts where you're like, wait, what?
But I mean, Olaf covers it in his wrap-up, so you don't even really need
That's
it.
That's true. So, the underwriting, I just love that whole, underwriting their own movie.
Yeah, I love that whole the storytelling where he's got his back to everyone and he's just like Elsa depressed in the corner. It was so funny. Anyways.
My parents are dead.
My parents are dead.
Oh, Anna.
Oh, Anna.
What?
Okay, Corbin, your next one.
Okay, this is from Joseph. 3 out of 5 stars. It's no Frozen is the subject line. I literally had to fast forward through some of the more torturous songs, and that would be forgivable if the storyline made any sense, but it doesn't. Have to give a slow clap for the part where she blows up her Let It Glow memory of herself. Oh, Joe. Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Have to give a slow clap. So that was acceptable. Thank you for destroying Let It Go. Other than that,
yeah, even she was kind of like cringe.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I think I had the same reaction. When did that happen? I put my head up on my forehead, or my hand on my forehead.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Okay, my next review comes from John W. 0.5 star. Once upon a time, Disney released. Disney,
oh
once
boy.
Upon a time, sorry. Okay, Corbin, stop laughing.
Sorry.
Once upon a time, Disney released this crap straight to VHS, amateur hour.
Woo!
Ouch. I will say this. If nothing else, this movie is visually stunning. So this is an amateur hour. I mean, this isn't like straight to video Little Mermaid 2 or Jungle Book 2. This is a step above those. Let's give it a little more credit than that.
And that's why I get a little sad with the whole thing about Jennifer Lee that we talked about. I'm going to go back to rehash that. But you watch these animators just pour their whole souls into it, and then one person or a group of people couldn't figure things out.
See,
and it undermines everything else. And people
that's...
see that and they're like, oh, this movie's terrible because of, and they don't realize what you're seeing, the actual visual component, is phenomenal. But the other stuff let it
I hit. Guess I for me, I feel like this is a part of, if you're going to be an animator, this is what you do. And you know that, like, you know what? You could work on all this stuff and it gets cut. Like, that's just a part of being an animator.
Well, it's not about getting cut. It's about the product overall. And then people look at it and say, that's a terrible movie. When in reality, everything else was in place except
Anyways, I'm just sticking up for her and saying in the sense that I think this kind of stuff happens all the time. Maybe not to that extreme.
Oof,
but in terms of, like, stuff getting cut and story not working sometimes.
I think this was pretty
unique. That's why they do the pre-screenings so they can work through things and figure out what's going on. But this was a little more extreme. Of an
more complex.
All right. Next review, Corbin.
My last review, 1 out of 5 stars from Susan H. Too expensive. My bad.
That's all it says.
Yeah.
Wait, so did she buy
it? My bad. My bad. That's on me. That's my bad.
Did she buy it and watch it, or did she just think about it and then she's like,
she
it's not
bought
worth
it? It wasn't. Did it produce the same value as what
you
she
know what?
Invested
I love
into
that
it?
She took responsibility.
I love that too. It's like, oh,
bad.
You know what? Not
That's
my not my cup of tea, but I bought it. That's on me. That's on me. You know?
We should all do that more often.
Yeah.
Instead of like ripping movies apart and being like, they blew it. Yeah. I need to be like, you know what? I should know myself better by now.
Yeah.
And know that I wouldn't have liked this.
Yeah, yeah.
My fault for spending money on
Maybe
it.
Maybe if it was in like the dollar bin at Walmart and I bought it, I'd be okay with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
only $1. $20? My
nah,
bad.
That's
my
bad.
My bad. Okay.
Oh my gosh. My last review. I just need help understanding it. Didn't quite understand where Beto G was coming from. Gave it 3.5 stars. Says meta and beautifully animated. It's like I'm seeing Barbie and Lord of the Rings. Can anybody help me understand Barbie and Lord of the Rings? Maybe I'm assuming Elsa is Barbie, and I'm not sure where the Lord of the Rings is coming
from. I think there were a few comments that I read about witchcraft that people were very appalled by the witchcraft in this movie.
Maybe? These same people have Harry Potter on their bookshelves. I guarantee it.
Yeah, they're like,
oh, man.
So maybe that's where, and then also, I mean, some of the scenes.
The fire in the woods where like Elsa's shooting her ice.
Well, the soldiers and there's a dam and like, I don't remember seeing any orcs.
or wizards or dwarves or elves. Anyways, Barbie and Lord of the Rings. That's his 6-word movie review.
Okay, all right. Well, follow up.
Well, if you're listening to this,
give us more.
Please help.
I just picture him writing a review while he's getting a burrito. You know.
Oh my gosh. Okay, guys, we are gonna wrap up with going over our Frozen versus Frozen 2, this or that that we played on Instagram this week.
Yes,
okay. Lots of you chimed in.
Thank you for doing that.
And at the end, we will tally up based on your guys' opinions. Who came out on top? Thank you. I know I hesitated. Who came out on top? Frozen or Frozen 2? So, Corbin, your first this or that.
Okay.
Pick an Anna song. No, pick a song about love. Just kidding. Pick a song about love, Lost in the Woods, or Love is an Open Door. Which do you prefer?
Oh, Lost in the Woods. Although I will say this. I struggle with remembering lyrics from songs, and I don't know what they're saying.
Love is an Open Door is in there for me.
Both of those movies, or both of those songs, I know the lyrics fairly well, too.
Do you?
So Karaoke Night, that might be my go-to.
I don't know Lost in the Woods, but I know Love is an Open Door.
Oh, Lost in the Woods. I know that.
Okay. I'm going to go... I'm going to go Love is an Open Door. Sorry, guys. And I'm super in the minority. The majority of everybody was with you. They picked Lost in the Woods.
You don't like Lost in the Woods?
I just know Love is an Open Door better. And
it's a duet, which is
It's
fun.
A duet. And I'm a sucker for a duet.
But Kristoff and Sven.
That doesn't count.
Although the Kristoff character, I can't remember his name. Do you remember who's Kristoff's voice? Let me look it up. He has to sing like 7 different
watching him
iterations
do this. They're like, okay, now you're doing this harmony, and can now you do this harmony? Yeah, he did like all of them. It was very funny.
Jonathan Groff.
Yes.
Yeah, he had to do 7 different like voices, and they mashed them together. So.
Okay, your next one. Pick an Anna song, For the First Time in Forever or The Next Right Thing.
The Next Right Thing.
Yeah, you've talked
question.
About that.
Yeah, I like it.
I actually agree with you on that one. First Time in Forever. You're getting really introduced to Anna at the beginning of her story, so there's a lot to.
Looking back, you're probably watching that. You're like, okay, this Anna girl, she's got some real issues that she's working through.
Those are interesting
songs.
Personally. They're very different.
Very, very different.
That shows some growth, I think. Okay. By the way, most of you liked for the First Time in Forever. Not very many of you liked The Next Right Thing. Sorry, guys. Get on board.
I think there are people out there that are trying to hide these hard things in their life.
Yeah, they don't want to confront them.
And it feels good sometimes to go down in the depths.
Just get down there. And
acknowledge that you made it through. Or maybe you're going through that right now. So you're like, I don't really want to be entertained by the depths of despair right now.
A bit of despair. Okay.
I understand that if that's the case.
Pick an Olaf song, When I'm Older or In Summer. In Summer.
I'll go with When I'm Older.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going with that one too.
Even though I got rid of that song earlier.
I know. I was like, what? Majority of you were In Summer fans by a whole lot.
It's just got the puddle part. That's it. That's all it's got.
And I'll be a happy snowman. All right. And pick an Elsa song. Show Yourself or Let It Go.
Show Yourself.
Show Yourself. 1,000,000,000%, guys. There's no argument anymore.
Yeah. Let It Go. That hasn't aged well.
Show Yourself is so good. This was actually a close vote. Show Yourself only won by a few. So there was some split on this one.
A few thousand, yeah.
Okay, now we're going to dresses, Corbin, and outfits.
Oh, good. I love this.
Yes. So pick an Anna or pick an Elsa dress. Frozen 1.
Let's go with the Frozen 2, the white dress that when she's singing Show Yourself, right?
Yes, with the leggings.
Yeah, the Let It Go is just a sassy.
Corbin doesn't like that one.
Kind of a wenchy song.
What? Okay, don't listen to that comment. But I just do prefer the white dress. I think it's so pretty.
Was I out of bounds there? Sorry about that.
I don't know
I
where
apologize.
You were. I'm just skipping over it.
Okay.
Okay, pick an Anna, Frozen 1 or Frozen 2.
Look, they're both the same. No, I'm just kidding. I like black, so I'm going to go with Frozen 2.
I do like Frozen 2's better. It's a little, she's matured up. We're growing up here.
Yeah, she didn't mature down.
She didn't mature down. I don't know how you good do job, that, Anna. But some people do.
I like the black. The black looks good.
Everybody agreed with us on both of those. They prefer Frozen 2.
Oh, good. I'm glad we're in alignment.
Kristoff, Frozen 1 or Frozen 2 with the proposal outfit.
No, Frozen
outfit.
1. Frozen 1.
You don't like him in
He looks so uncomfortable in the Frozen 2 proposal
He's
outfit.
He's going to be king.
No.
He's got to learn how to wear a suit coat and slick his hair back.
I think he's going to be the crazy king that no one never sees because he's never presentable.
I do love that Anna was like, I prefer you in leather anyway. That was cute. She wasn't like, oh, good, now I'm going to try and change you so that you always dress like this. She was like, meh.
We'll see.
I like what you
do. I don't know. That power could go to her head.
Most of you are with Corbin. Yes, you prefer true Kristoff in the leather.
Yeah.
And then last one, pick your animal sidekick. We've got Sven and our little blue lizard friend. Who do you want to pal around with? Oh, Corbin's thinking deeply.
I am thinking deeply because the salamander is the obvious choice, but then he's got this little temper thing going on.
I don't think he has a temper. He just lights on fire sometimes.
He was grumpy. He was hissing at her.
He was, but then he...
It's because of the lack of harmony in nature.
Yeah.
I think. Right?
But look how cute his smile is.
He is very cute. And he licks his eye. And it's adorable.
Oh, he does lick his eye. Oh, that was cute.
And I love when he jumps off the rock. It's like he's skydiving. Whee! Yeah. Like, I'll go with the salamander. Yes.
I am too. I like him. Sorry,
well done.
Sven.
Good job, buddy.
We were split on that one.
Sven is
50-50.
Sven just needs to hang out with some other reindeer.
I will say this, though. Of all of the sidekicks in this movie, I think I want that water horse. That thing
my
is
daughter
so
loved that.
Cool.
My daughter was like, every time, the water horse.
Yes. And we walked into this shop, the princess shop at Disneyland, and there was a stuffed water horse, and she about lost her mind.
A stuffed one?
Uh-huh.
Is it transparent?
No,
translucent?
I wish. But it was the water horse, and it was so cute.
Wow.
All right, guys. So after I tallied all these up, Frozen 2 came out on top by 1 point. Of all of those Frozen versus Frozen 2... We all seem to agree by 1 point that we like Frozen 2 better based on the question I asked.
That's
so,
very scientific research.
I mean,
it's
I feel
fact.
Like...
truth. We've discovered truth. Frozen 2 is better.
You're welcome. All right. Let's wrap up with awards and then see where we rank. Corbin, what have you got?
Got my love-hate reward.
Okay.
Award.
Reward.
Here's your sticker. This movie, love it. But if I think about it too much or I watch that making of, I start
you
to hate it.
Mm,
very
yeah.
much a love-hate award.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Is that okay?
I think that's fair.
Okay.
So maybe go into that making of cautiously. Just know, I mean, I think...
Both are good.
I think we watch things and we just assume that they just come, you know, so naturally
and
easily.
You keep saying this. I don't think this story...
But I do keep clarifying that... Yes, I think this was an extreme example, but conflict in making these things is not unusual. It's just this kind of got further down the wire than I think they were anticipating.
Yeah, it kind of ran away from them.
Okay, I am going to give this, I didn't know what to call this award, best cover compilation on the soundtrack. I love the bands they brought in to cover the music. Weezer, Kacey Musgrave, Panic at the Disco. Guys, those are almost better than the songs in the movie. I would say. And the music videos that go with them. Watching Weezer pretend to be Kristoff and have Kristen Bell come play Anna in the music video.
That's good.
It is so nerdy and I love it. So yeah, it's up there with me with Cars. Cars has got that same vibe where they brought in these bands and these musicians to do music and it was so much fun. Same type of thing. I love the like extra soundtrack on this one.
Okay. I like that. That's well said.
Next.
I'm going to give this the Transparency Award.
Okay.
Having the guts.
Yeah.
As we discussed
or
the issues.
Maybe stupidity, but mostly guts.
Yeah. To roll out the making of. And I
a
think
six
it's
hour making of, yeah.
Convenient that they rolled that out a year after this was released?
Yeah. Can you see them mulling over it? They're like, do we include that in this?
So I appreciate that. The transparency to be able to say, yes, there were some issues, but maybe this, like you said, this is more normal than we think, than people think, and we're going to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek into the making of. I can't believe, I still am stunned that it was 4 months before and they were still trying to figure this stuff out.
I know.
I mean, talk about stress.
I know.
And again, like the rest of the team is just like, you want what? I've been killing myself to give me my 1 minute. You just took that, you destroyed it, and now you're putting in 5 minutes of extra. Yeah, that's just, it's crazy.
Okay, I'm going to give an award for sound effects because the rock giant noises, the crunching rocks of like their joints when they move. Guys, I don't know why, but I'm like, that is such a good sound effect. It sounded so real. There are true rock giants in the world and they sound like that. I really love that one sound effect.
Have you ever seen sound effect dudes working?
Yes.
They're like their studio. They have
the coolest job ever.
They have like a plunger that they're like pushing up against the wall to make a very specific sound. And you're just like, they have all this random stuff in this little studio and they're making sounds. Yeah. I mean, that's got to mess with you a little bit.
Oh, man.
Be stuck in that dark little room
it's
for so long.
It's interesting to think that they're sitting there looking at it and they're making these noises and they're like, was that the right noise? And they're like, nope, that one didn't fit. And then they do something on and they're like, that's it. That sounds natural.
Well, and a lot of times it doesn't even sound natural. Like when you punch somebody in the face, it doesn't sound like that.
Oof.
Yeah, like the Batman.
Bam.
Woof.
Woof. I don't remember that one, but I'm sure it was in there.
Zing.
Oh, woof.
Woof. I bet a punch sounds more like a woof than a bam. Anyways.
You have any more awards, Corbin?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, my last award is the Too Far Award. I just think
too far.
The Too Far Award for me goes to Kristoff surrounded by singing reindeer.
Too far. No.
I was like, guys, that's when I kind of fall off the wagon a teeny bit with Lost in the Woods. I'm like, I want to be in on this party and appreciate it like the rest of you
it
do.
It is beautiful.
But I just, there's part of me that's like, I am a little on the fence.
Nope.
So.
You can go hang out with the brainless Olaf, and I will listen to Sven and Kristoff sing their song.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
All right, Corbin, where does this rank on your animation list?
Okay, just to provide some context, my Frozen, the first one, it's ranked at 30 out of 33, right?
Holy smokes.
Let's see, 30. Yeah, 30 out of 33. Frozen 2 is certainly much better. Has those emotional components, but the making of, really, I struggled with that. So I'm going to put it at 23.
Okay.
Right below Luca and right above The Jungle Book.
All right. So mine is going to come in a little bit higher. The Frozen originally, I believe, came in at number 17 for me. And Frozen 2 is going to be at number 15, just below Luca and above Coco.
Oh.
Sorry. The music in this one beats it out with Coco. I love the music in this one.
Fun fact.
Yes, please.
Jennifer Lee helped with Coco.
Hey, well, there you go. Does that redeem her a little bit?
Sorry, that's actually incorrect.
Oh.
Excuse me. She worked with Wreck-It Ralph, Big Hero 6, Zootopia. What I meant was, is...
Okay.
Hold on.
False props.
No, it was Kristen Anderson Lopez that wrote the song Remember Me. From Coco.
Oh, that makes sense.
So there you go.
That's got them written all over it.
Little misinformation there.
All right, guys.
I had to check my sources.
So the stunning conclusion that we've come to.
Is it stunning?
Is that Frozen 2 is better than Frozen.
I don't think, yeah. I think that's.
I mean, we've had you guys vote on stuff. We talked through some things. I think for us, it comes down to the character development and the characters getting to a place where I'm excited instead of feeling like I'm annoyed.
Or I am really sorry that I have to relive some of my teenage years.
Yeah. So maybe this isn't the best Frozen in terms of child audiences, but as an adult, I sure appreciate it.
I don't know. That'd be a good question. I need to ask my daughters.
Yeah. We need to pull kids.
We watched it recently. And my oldest daughter, who's 7, was like, I don't want to watch this. We watch this all the time. I want to watch Frozen 1. But... lots of chuckling going on.
You're like, you said you didn't want to watch this.
So I think it's a sneaky pick for some kids.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways, guys, tell us what you think. Did we get it wrong? Did we get it right? I mean, you guys weighed in, so.
Get its truth. It's not about right or wrong anymore. It's fact.
The data says.
Yes.
Barely. By one.
Barely.
Barely. Frozen 2 is
decisive
better.
Victory. Okay.
All
right.
My goodness.
That's our review of Frozen 2. Next week.
Next week, we are going to dip our toe really quickly into Star Wars. We got to get to Star Wars Clone Wars Season 3 before the end of the year because we feel like if we don't keep up on these, we're just going to fall off the wagon.
Yeah. And we're committed. With Marvel, it's been a little bit here, miss and hit and miss. With Star Wars stuff, specifically with all the new content coming out, we want to keep going with this Clone Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Because it is critical. I've listened to multiple people that they don't know I'm listening. That sounds weird. But
like you guys right now.
But I've heard multiple people say, if you do not watch Clone Wars, you do not understand the impact and importance of episode 1, 2, and 3. You need Clone Wars context to help you really enjoy
those. I don't know if I'm to that point yet, but I'm just kind of enjoying the journey.
Oh, okay.
So
just enjoy the journey.
Yeah, I'm just kind of enjoying the journey. So anyways, guys, next week, Star Wars Clone Wars season 3. Catch up with us and we will talk about our favorite episodes.
Talk to you then.
This has been another episode of The Neverland Files. Subscribe and review and join the conversation over on Instagram at The Neverland Files. Thanks for listening.